Mark, the 16th chapter, and let's begin reading in verse 1 tonight. I preached along these lines many, many times and shared some different things in perspective to what it says. But tonight I want to share some things that I believe God has put in my spirit today to tell you. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. Oh, glory, I could stop there and check. Isn't that wonderful? It was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. He was clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Go your way and tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. For there shall you see him as he said unto you." Father, tonight we thank you for the word. We thank you for the spirit that we sense in this meeting tonight. God, we ask more than anything else that your anointing would flow through us and in us. God, you would anoint the people to receive what we say tonight. We bind you, Satan, in Jesus' name. We bind your power. We bind any roadblock or confusion or hindrance that you would try to put before us tonight, keeping those that need this message from receiving and applying it to their own lives. You are a defeated foe. We come against you in the power of that great name, the name of Jesus. And we pray and believe that, Father, in your Son's name, Jesus, that results would happen tonight. So we ask it in that name. Everybody said, "Amen, amen." I want to share for a few minutes with you tonight this message. If I had a title, I could title it a number of things. I think I would just simply entitle it, "Getting to the Right Source for Your Help." Getting to the right source for your help. We've got people today that go to everybody but the right person for help. We've got people today that search and spend multiplied thousands of dollars trying to get the right help for their needs. Spiritually, I'm talking about basically tonight. And there's nothing wrong with counseling. There's nothing wrong with sharing with one another and bearing one another's burdens. But the number one priority in searching for an answer and deliverance has got to come through Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got people that go to the educator, the philosopher, the athlete, go to everybody for help, and they can't help you, you know. They've got the same problems you do. I preach a number of meetings in Montgomery, Alabama, one of the great churches, I believe, in America. It's a great church, and my good friend pastors there, and there's a psychiatrist, Dr. Boyd, in the church. And I love him. He's a very dear friend of mine. He's got a great practice in Montgomery. And he's got a lot of clients. And you know, he helps many, many people. He's a spirit-filled man of God. He's a spirit-filled doctor in psychiatry. And he's a great man. And you know what he does when he's exhausted all his efforts to help people? Sends them down to the pastor. That may blow your mind, that's the truth. Amen. Now, I don't know he said it doesn't maybe hold true in every case, but in many cases, when he's done everything he can to help certain situations, he says, I've done all I can do. I'll tell you who you need to go see is my pastor, Brother Barker. I want you to go down there and see him. And they say, "Well, what will he do for me? Will he talk to me more?" He said, "No." He said, "Bob, the first thing you'll do is take some oil and put it on his hand and lay it on your head and pray for deliverance." Now, I'm not preaching something that's far out. I'm not preaching something that's in left field. I'm not teaching something that Jesus spent a large part of his ministry doing in this area. People were bound. People were oppressed. People were in a desperate situation, and Brother really, it boils right down to only the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to set the captive free. Amen. We got churches today that, oh, it just upsets their little program if somebody needs deliverance. You know? Oh, it just, I've been to some places where, you know, somebody will come up and they'll be bound by certain things, and whether it's oppression or possession or obsession, whatever, but they need divine help. And, oh, you know, Brother Perky, don't get into that. Somebody might get out of line and might scream or holler or something, you know. And we've got some important people in our church. And they wouldn't, you know, but, you know, I think this is why we ought to be here. I think, Pastor, that's what we as men of God should be called to do, is to bring help and divine love to people. Amen. Because, you know, really, by and large, people that come in our full gospel churches around America are coming in there because they need help. Amen. And to really be perfectly and frank with you tonight, they could care less whether your carpet is 5 inches thick. They could care less whether you've got chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. They could care less, basically, whether you've got a 100-voice choir or whether you've got all kinds of outstanding programs. There's nothing wrong with that. But the main thing that they're interested in is, brother, they need help. They need help. They're bound by sin. They're bound by the powers of darkness. Some might be in many ways more bound than others, but the bottom line is they're hungry for a touch of God. They're hungry for help. They're hungry for somebody that has some faith and has the anointing and has the touch that, and you have to, you ought to have a part in this. When people come, that you share, you reach out and you let them know, praise God, yes, there is a source here. There is a power here. There is a presence here so that you can be free. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God, I pray, God, help me be the person I need to be in this last day when people need help. We've got people that come up to some and churches and they'll ask us to pray for them, and we can't help them because we're not prayed up anyway. Miss Perky, let's just say I'm on a job somewhere. This is a pitiful situation, a pitiful example, but when you think about it, but it happens. You'd be surprised how much it happens. If I'm in an office, let's say somewhere, somebody goes, well, Brother Perky, don't you go down to that assembly, to the Assembly of God Church? Oh, yeah, I'm full gospel. Well, good, because, you know, my grandma's just about to die, and I don't really claim to be a Christian or anything, but I heard a few people pray for people down there, and they, you know, that they supposed to get healed. Oh, yes, Brother Wyatt. Well, we pray for people, and just last Sunday we were singing, Only Believe, All Things Are Possible. Well, good. So would you pray with me for us? Well, I'd be glad to. What you got? You got, oh, she does. Well, I'd be glad to pray with you. We lost 43 of that last year, but I'd be glad to go ahead and pray with you. I may not ever be back here, so I'm going to make a count while I'm here, praise God. But no, I want us to understand this. See, we're not here to compare notes. We're here to pray for victory. And I don't have all the answers and all the... But I want you to know, praise God, that there's victory in Jesus. Amen? I believe that, don't you? Y'all sister needs prayer tonight, my dear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Glory, aren't you glad that he can come on the scene, hallelujah, and meet our needs? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just keep praising, sister. I don't, I don't care. Praise, just praise him all them says, love him and praise him. Won't bother me one bit. Praise God. When you don't do it, it bothers me. Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad the Lord? The Lord's always there. God is our source. God is our strength. God is our help. He is the one that makes it possible that we can be victorious. And when we come in contact with people, as the situation I just mentioned a few moments ago, it's not up to us to compare notes necessarily, or to go in some big deliberation, or go into some big counseling session of well, I'll pray if it, you know, if this and if that. It's up to us to take that person that needs help by the hand and pray the prayer of faith with them and believe God with them. And oh, hallelujah, I believe the victory will come. Amen. Every day, most of you are in contact with people that need help. There's people around you every day that need help. And oh, and you don't have to be called to do this. Because everybody in here ought to be a preacher. I mean, everybody in here ought to be a preacher. What do you mean? Well, a preacher's just somebody that heralds the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what a preacher, now God calls pastors and evangelists and teachers and people in different areas to a specific calling, a special calling. But everybody here ought to be a preacher and telling people and sharing with people about Jesus Christ. Amen? Glory to God. It's tragic how little we really share what we ought to have. Amen. Amen. It's up to the body of Christ to do it. Now, there's some people that say, well, you know, we pay the preacher, let him do it all. Well, you got it all wrong, honey. There's nobody out here like that, but there are places where there are. You have a tremendous responsibility on you now that you're saved, now that you're special, spirit-filled, to tell people and share with people, and you do it through love. I was listening to the radio today talking about a fellow talking about love. See, all this has to operate in love. See, it doesn't make any difference how much you pray or how much you claim to have. If you don't have love, then you don't really have nothing. Amen? In fact, if you were to ask me 5 years ago what I wanted most from God, I'd have told you more power. If you ask me right now what I'm wanting most from God, and I'm seeking more from God, and I'm receiving more from God, it's love. That's what makes the difference, it's love. But here's the situation of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, that is one of the most really beautiful stories in the entire Word of God. They have come to the sepulcher. They have come to the place where Jesus was laid. And all of a sudden, when they're standing there in really a holy awe of the thing that's happened, because a stone has been rolled away and Jesus isn't there, all of a sudden an angel comes on the scene. And he tells them that Jesus has sent a message that he wants to see all the disciples and make sure you tell Peter. Now, when I read that, Pastor, I almost thought, now, I know Jesus doesn't like somebody more than he does somebody else, but why did he include Simon Peter in this thing? Why didn't that scripture bear out, go and tell all the disciples and Andrew? Why didn't it say, go and tell all the disciples and John? I mean, you know, it almost seems like that Jesus, who's sending the message through the angel, is trying to say, you know, hey, you know, make sure you tell Simon Peter. In other words, if you look at it, some of you might think, well, make sure, because I just like him more than anybody else. I just want to see him more than anybody else. But that's not true, because there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Amen. I mean, Jesus loves everybody the same. Amen? I mean, he loves everybody the same. I mean, and I like that. And so, in other words, make sure you tell Simon Peter. Well, why include Simon Peter in this? Because one of the greatest love stories in the Word of God, talking about Jesus loving his fellow man. Simon Peter had just denied Jesus Christ a few days prior to this event that I read to you. And no doubt, if I know how old Slewfoot works, if I know how the devil operates, He's trying to get Peter to end it all because, you know, he's denied Jesus, and Jesus wants to make sure he gets the message because Jesus wants him to know that he still loves him. See, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I believe there's some great reasons why he singles him out. I believe one reason is simply because he knows what he's going through. Have you ever been that place? We all have. I believe we all have. And, you know, yeah, you know, well, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody really cares about what I'm going through. Nobody's ever faced what I've faced. Nobody has ever really been in contact with the thing I'm in contact with right now. Well, I got news for you, Jesus has. Now, the Bible said he was in all points tempted and tested, just like you and I. Amen. And the Bible said that he faced all of it, and he knew what Simon Peter was going through. He knew all of it. In fact, one time Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. In other words, just cut you off. But I prayed for you, and you came spared. I tell people in our services around this world that if they're there and they don't know Jesus, they ought to shout and praise God they're even breathing. Brother, if the devil had his will with you, he'd kill you immediately and take you to hell. The only reason people today are living and breathing is because of the mercy and grace of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He knew what he was facing. He knew what he was going through. He knew the desperate hour that he was in, and right at that very moment he knew what he was facing. He knew what he was going through, but the thing that Jesus wanted to have happen was to get in contact with him, because he knew if he could get in contact with Simon Peter, he could help him. And the same thing's true in this hour in which we live. If you'll come in contact with him, if you'll come and have an encounter with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, brother, you'll never be the same. You'll be different. God quickened something in my spirit just now, I want to say. When you're prayed through, you're a different person. When you're prayed through, you're a different father. When you have an encounter with you, we got people, they wondering, well, why am I having this problem and why am I having that problem? And I'm not saying you won't have some problem, but I'll tell you one thing. A lot of them will be minimized, and a lot of them will be, you know, not near as big as they are, and a lot of them won't even happen if you'll stay prayed through. But when you come in contact with Jesus, brother, he'll make a change in you. And I'm not talking about getting a little bit. We got people who get around laws and get a little bit. They get just about enough of God that it makes them miserable. Amen. I'm talking about staying there, brother, till heaven comes down and glory fills your soul. It may take a minute. It may take 30 minutes. But I tell you, you'll be a better father if you'll come in contact and let Jesus touch you. It's simple elementary teaching, but it's truth. You'll be a better mother. You'll be a better church member. You'll be a better person if you'll pray through, if you're not prayed through. Amen. I tell you what, if you'll pray through, it won't take much to turn you on. Pastor, you just get up and say hi, and it's, Lord, it just goes all over. I've been placed where they had to give trips to wire away, and Maytag washers and dryers, and motor scooters to get people to worship. Well, they'll never go to heaven. Amen. It's the truth. Go and tell him that I want to see him because I know what he's facing. I know what he's going through. Now, here's another one. Here's a real important one. Make sure you tell Simon Peter that I want to see him because I know what his friends are saying about him. See, he denied Jesus 3 times, and if I know how a lot of the disciples operated and how a lot of people operate, they probably said, you know, don't hang around us anymore, man. We don't care about you. You denied Jesus 3 times. You would just kind of say to yourself. But the Bible said none of them had any room to talk because the Bible said they all forsook him and they all fled. But this is the way man is about. And if we're not careful, and I've had to go to God at times and ask him to forgive me for becoming judgmental. Some people, some of our churches feel like the Lord called them, ordained them, and set them aside to judge. They just sit around the church and just tell you who's saved and who isn't when they come in the door. Amen? And they'll sit back in a pew, you know, and they'll always talk about how everybody else ought to be getting in. Well, it's good to see young people get in. Good to see them move in. I was wondering if they were going to get in. Good to see them get in. They need it. Oh, my God, they need it. It won't last. Let's get to him get in. Good to see old Jack and Sally down there tonight. They're having trouble. Yeah. Been down there 2 or 3 times this year. Oh, yeah, this won't last. No. Won't last. I get it. I feel like probably 9 days. I get it 9 days. I mean, how do I know? I'm just gifted to know these things. Well, good for him to get in. What do you mean? Well, I know I haven't been there in a while. Well, I don't need to go down there. I've been here for years. I don't need to go down there. I've been in the way a long time. You know, I wish for you to get in and get out of the way. Thank you for these, amen. I've had people come down and see the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have big old pack of candles, cigarettes, and all. And there's been some giant spiritualites going back in the church. Man, yeah, man. What's that church coming to? Person down and get the baptism and I saw a pack of cigarettes. I just like to know how they can be saved and smoke. I don't know how you be saved and judge. Now, I'm not for that, but I'm saying it's not for us to judge. A lot of people would be a lot better off, and there'd be a lot less time, but a lot of churches would try to keep their big mouth shut. But I was in a meeting the other day. You know what? He got up and preached the stars out of the sky, brother. Man, I first won the offer. And I found out he's a lot farther ahead of me, you know, and I said, God forgive me. They're not careful. And this is the way people are. They say, well, we'll try you for 30 days. We'll try you. And if you work out well, aren't you glad Jesus? He just turned dirty. He says, if you just come under me, if you're heavy laden, and if you will, I'll give you it. Oh, hallelujah. I won't take you on a 30-day cycle. I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know I care about you. I'm long-suffering. Oh, glory to God. That's the way Jesus offered. And that's what he wanted Simon Peter to get a hold of this message. Well, make sure you tell him that I don't care what people have said about him. You still got somebody to love him. Well, that's ministry. And he's something else. He says, make sure you tell him because I know he's in a desperate condition. No doubt after denying Jesus 3 times, the Bible, John chapter 21, says that old Simon Peter went back to the old life of fishing. You know, he was a fisherman. As he's out there in that boat, I can see it in my mind how that the old devil comes up and slides up beside him and tries to defeat him in his mind and finally kill him. See, here's where the battle's going on in people, is in their mind. I was reading today in the Word of God for encouragement to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Trust in him with your heart. He can't possess you if you're a child of God, the devil can't, but he can't oppress you, and he'll do it in your mind. When I think about this, I'm sure the devil stood up beside him and said, Peter, you're through. You're washed up. You'll never be what you used to be. You'll never become what you used to be. You'll never be at the place where you used to be. You denied Jesus 3 times. Everybody knows it, and they don't like you anymore. You might as well jump out of this boat. You're finished. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5 is a great passage of Scripture. That verse 5 says that talks about cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You're going to have things hit your mind every day. You're going to have a number of things approach your mind every day. Some of them going to be from the Lord, some of them going to be from the devil, and some of them just going to be because of the natural circumstances around you. Now, how you entertain those thoughts will be whether you live in victory or you live in defeat. Well, Brother Cookie, how can I tell if it's the Lord or the devil? That's not hard. Good things is in God, and bad things is in the devil. You don't have to have a PhD to get that. Amen? Anything that tries to bring God, fear, unbelief, break you down, defeat you, put you down, and keep you down, that's thoughts from the devil. And the Bible said to cast down those things, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what's the knowledge of God? The Word of God. So anything that hits your mind that doesn't accept it from the enemy, and it does not line up with the Word of God, then get it out of your mind. Now, it'll take practice. It means a lot of people are living in defeat because they're entertaining a bunch of junk that the devil took them. Nobody loves them anymore. Nobody cares. Your son will never get saved. Your daughter never will get saved. Your wife never will get saved. You never will come out of financial bondage. You never will get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You never will have deliverance over the habit that you're in. You're going to die very soon. Your future does not look bright. It will not happen like you think it should happen. There's a thought from the enemy. Get them out. Amen. I tell you what, if we'll do it, we'll be a more victorious Christian. Hello? I believe it. And so in other words, he knew that Simon Peter was going to think. He knew that Satan was going to be a prophet in his mouth. Confidence, man. Somebody in the thoughts of defeat and insanity and the destroying the power. A lot of people are today, brother. There's a lot of people that are blowing their brains out, that are jumping out of buildings and jumping off bridges, that are taking their life because they can't cope with it anymore. I used to trade there in Oklahoma. I still do. At the men's shop. Very good friend of mine is the owner of the shop. He's always been good to me. Some years ago, his wife, see, I used to see when I'd walk in the store, help him run the store. She never smiled and never had any joy about it. I'm going to tell you something. A person that doesn't have any joy walking around the field all the time is on dangerous ground. The joy of the Lord is out. I noticed every time I go in, they keep teaching me, but there was always just a kind of defeated energy. There was always an atmosphere of defeat around me. 2 years ago, she left a note lying on her dresser. Told her husband that she couldn't cope with anything anymore. She went out in the lake and she jumped in. She filled water all around. That's the way she ended it. She went in and out. So much of it, she probably had it rough. Just 2 days prior to her husband just spent $225,000. Bought a little condominium up in Grand Lake, just for that same time. It was a quarter of a million for 8,000. Got all kinds of money. got people today that don't do anything for God. They come to church, they want all the blessings and all the power, and they want the glory to come down, but they don't do anything for God. We're saved and filled and touched by His power. Oh, He's got to work for us. Simon Peter, after he comes in contact with Jesus, he's never the same. Oh, on that day of Pentecost, glory to God, hallelujah. When they assemble up there in that upper room, old Simon Peter's right in the big middle of them because he's got to the right source and been touched by the right power. Glory to God. The rushing mighty wind fills the room, cloven tongues of fire come down and set on him, and Simon Peter's right in the big middle of it, and oh, he receives the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance, and the man that preaches, and the man that gets the privilege of preaching the greatest Pentecostal message on this planet will ever happen was the man that just about to end it all a few days ago. You know why he worries that now? Because he's got to the right source, and he's got to where Jesus was, and Jesus ministered to him and touched him and set him free and brought deliverance to his life. Oh, what a difference when Jesus passes by. 2,000 years ago, there's a madman that roams the hills of today. To the society, nobody can tame him because he possessed a 2,000 devils. He runs naked through the hills. He's a wild man. They tied him with chains. They tied him and bound him, and they thought they had him in a place he couldn't escape, but he breaks the chains. Moms and dads tell their children to come in early because there's a madman loose in the hills. Nobody can help him. He takes sharp rocks and he cuts his body and opens his flesh and the blood runs all over him. He's wild. He's crazy. No man can tame him. Yeah, that's right. No man. But one glorious day, my Savior walked up on the seaside there. Walked up on the shore and came in contact with a man that society said beyond help, and he speaks to him and calls him legion, and he casts 2,000 devils out of him into a herd of swine. They run off into the water, into the ocean. I see this man walking the streets now, and he's a different man. And if somebody came up in astonishment and asked him, "What's wrong? What happened? Aren't you the wild man that pulled it? That no man could tame," he would say, and he has a different look about him now, and he would say, "Yeah, I'm the same one." But you know what happened? There was this man the other day that I've never met anybody else like him, but he touched me. And all I can say is, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. That's what happened to this sister a while ago. There was a difference because Jesus passed by. That's what's happened to many of you here in this service tonight. You're different because Jesus passed by. Would you stand with me, everybody? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Hallelujah. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Well, every head is bowed for just a moment and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight who would make a first step by lifting your hand and say, Brother Perky, I'd like you to pray for me because I'm living in depression and defeat. My life is not what it ought to be. I don't know. You might have been coming here for a long time, but you might be in a place of a leadership or position. I don't care who you are tonight. There might be some things that have happened that have caused you to slip into that arena of depression and oppression. You need to get to the right source. If you're living in that arena and you want help tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Whoever you are, this is for you. Anyone else? I want us to sing a song, and I want you to come and stand with me tonight. I want to minister to you. I'm here to help you. Just here a few days, but these few days I want to do my part, and I want to help you. While we sing it, slip out if you need this tonight. He touched me. Oh, come on. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Come on over here and let's stand together. Something, just make one line across this front. Happen. And now I know He touched me and made